Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, June the 30th, 2013.
Well, we do have a packed service tonight, but we want to sing a few songs together. Why don't you stand with me as we sing The Cry of My Heart, Show Me Your Ways, and then finally, With God Still Moves. Sing with me.
It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. Teach me your holy ways, O Lord, so I can walk in your truth. Teach me your holy ways, O Lord, and make me wholly devoted to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life.
Open my eyes.
Open my eyes so I can see the wonderful things that you do. Open my heart.
Ensemble's going to come share with us.
From the highest of highs to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. all-powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go? Seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Who imagined the sun and gives source to its light? Yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky, and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All-powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, you are amazing, you are amazing, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky, and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All-powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. So amazing, indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky, and you know them by name. You are amazing, God, so amazing, incomparable, unchangeable, you see the depths of my heart, and you love me the same.
The men to come at this time. We thank the Lord for the opportunity we have to give. Phil, would you pray for the offering, please?
Father God, we recognize you as an amazing Father God. We know that you're doing amazing things around this world with anticipation for reports tonight from our God and from the Alaska Chief. Pray you bless us all in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
Well, we have a lot of trips going on all through the summer, and it seems like almost year-round we've got somebody going somewhere. And because I know that the Glods just got back, and you know, spending I think it was 2 weeks with Cody over in Beijing, and so we're excited about that. Don Arnold just came in this past week and had been in Fiji, and so that's a Bible distribution opportunity, and he's going to talk about that in several weeks and everything. And I'm trying to think of the number you told me this morning. You have distributed how many thousand Bibles in those islands?
40,000 and we have 210,000 more to go.
40,000 and another 210,000. And you see, that's an open door with the government and the prime minister, really, to be able to do that. And then Brant's involved in a project, and we're really working with a variety of different people in over in Afghanistan and Iran and the Republic of Georgia and a variety of places that way. So there's some really neat opportunities. And Tim Meyer told us about the opportunity to go to the Solomon Islands, and that's where Don spent, I think, almost 3 weeks there. And so, Don, if you'll come and share your report in as succinct a fashion as you can, Don.
It's harder than it looks to do this, believe it or not. Before I get started, there is something that I don't really get to do publicly, and that's thank. I want to thank Ed and Carmen for the way back in, I think it was 2004, 2005, when you first came, you presented your work in China. And it wasn't until you actually made it personal, when you came and you slipped your arm around me and you asked me personally. And that was probably the clincher. I got news for you. Tim did the exact same thing down in the Solomon Islands. But I want to thank you publicly for what it is that you did, what you meant to me during that whole time. You were a solid rock, you and your wife and your family, to be able to watch you interact with the Chinese people that you did. It was just amazing. Before I continue on, I do have pictures. I am not a polished photographer like Don and Tom Kilpatrick. What I did was I took my little camera and I chronicled as much as I could my experience there. So some of the pictures are kind of fuzzy but think of it in terms of I went to an island where there was a war back in the 40s, you know, and think about the men who had to fight in that kind of condition, you know, with rain and heat, malaria. So I more or less, I tried to put myself in that kind of condition. Or thought process when I was going, when I went there. It wasn't, the terrain that you'll see is exactly very difficult to maneuver around in. With that in mind, let's roll it. I'm going to be talking. Last time I was here when I went to China, I had to speak specifically only about 2 days. Which is exactly in my thought processes. I had to narrow it down to only 2 days, even for this tonight, so that I could get it within the time frame the doc wants me to get it in. But 2 days. First day was as we were making our way throughout the entire the jungle area and whatnot. Of course, what happened Tim had men that was positioned there in order to make contact with certain schools, and one of them was a deaf high school, Catholic, deaf Catholic high school. Now, if it's one thing I'd like for you to try to do is to try to be able to see the hand of God throughout this entire process. Even in China, when I was going to China, I could actually see how God would be able to take things that were needed to be done. And there was no exception here. I mean, each and every single day, you could see God's hand. Now, the thing about it was that the individual who was in charge of this Catholic deaf school, for some reason, he was sick. And he was away from the campus area for an extended period of time. So that left another individual in charge, which was someone who was a little bit more willing to be able to take on and allow the Bibles to be able to be brought in. Think about that. Here it is. You've got a Catholic deaf school willing to accept pretty much a Protestant Bible, because the Bible that we sent was King James. And that's what they had to do was they had to have all the Bibles printed in King James, because that's what the government requested of Tim in order to do it. So, and Tim was very anxious about having to actually go into this particular school, because number one is that the interpreter that was going to be there didn't know if they were going to be interpreting for what it is that he actually had to say. So therefore, and we had two of our own interpreters, which was Robert Gunter. I don't know if anybody knows him or not. He was a graduate there at Temple in the deaf department. And another guy that was from Australia, which was, I think his name was Andrew. Anyways, they were both able to be able to speak in the sign language that we did. And Tim was very, very anxious about that. He just didn't know exactly how he'd be able to do it. And we got to the road and we took pictures and we went in and we were able to meet with the officials that were there. They greeted us everywhere we went. Everybody was very, very gracious to us in order to be able to make the presentation that we did. And after a little bit of time, we finally Tim took us. They took us over to where that they had their usual meeting, and Tim called us all together, and he said, "Guys, we have just entered inside the gates of hell." And he was very, very cautious about how he was going to present this. So, next thing you know, as we drew closer to the meeting, the facility and everything, Tim called us over again. He said, "You know what, guys? We're just going to present the gospel. That's how we're going to do it. We're just going to present it like we've been doing it, and we'll just see what God does." Well, we went in, we put all the Bibles in front, and we were able to go in there. And how am I doing on time? Okay. Anyways, this is one thing that was kind of neat about the deaf people is that, you know, after you make all your presentations and everything, if they like something that you did, they did this. That's how they clap. So if I see anybody over here going like this, that's the reason why. There you go. That's how they did it. All right. So that's how they clapped. And it threw me off when we first saw it. But anyways, we made the presentation. I remember watching this one girl. She had the Bible. She was sitting over there, and she was just signing, just going at it. And then I kept watching her, and finally I walked over there. And I asked her, I looked at what she was saying. She was sitting there signing the book of Job. She was going to town like she'd never seen this before. And they were all so thankful that, in fact, that was the name of the school, if you could see that. But the second part, I'm running out of time, I know. The second part is, that was great. We passed out all the Bibles to the deaf school, and then we left. And I told Tim, I said, the real battle has yet to begin. Even though after, it'll happen after we're long gone, when that guy comes back and be able to, he'll start having to deal with it then. But then, yet, you know what? God's word got planted in a Catholic deaf school, and they were sitting there reading words of God for the first time. All right, second one is that I have a day when Tim had a presentation. Part of the presentation was when they would actually have to backpack Bibles into the area. Sometimes we either took it in by feet, or we took it in by our Land Rover. If you read my story, believe it or not, in the story that I gave you that was in the church bulletin, the Rover that we had lasted until we got out of the bush, because when we got back, the transmission was completely destroyed. The second, the transmission for the four-wheel drive on the Range Rover was completely destroyed. But then yet, it lasted until we got out of the bush. Imagine that. All right. So, anyways, we took the Bibles and we were going up. We had to go up along the coastline on some boats. It was very choppy for us, but according to the boatman who took us, it was one of the calmest that they have ever seen. Imagine that. And then the as we got to when we got to this one particular village, the people came and they invited us in. One of our guys knew the chief. But then, yet, you know, where were we going to stay? We weren't having anything to do that night. And lo and behold, an individual, one of the ladies who lives there, who owns one of the huts, she had to be out of town. So next thing you know, the chief says, "Here, y'all can have this one." So we spent the night in got out of the rain. There's a little bit of rain. The next morning, I hadn't eaten very well because I was still working on jet lag. They say it takes like 96 hours for an individual in order to get over real bad jet lag, and I was still working on it. I hadn't eaten very much, and it was time for us to be able to backpack Bibles into the bush, which was supposed to be around, I don't know, close to 3 hours walking distance. My Bible, my backpack was full of Bibles. I kept walking, and of course I was wearing boots at the time, and my leggings were getting all wet because of the rivers or the streams that we were crossing. For some reason, the rain hasn't fallen, so therefore the river beds that were there weren't swollen. So we were able to cross over and to be able to make it to, as far as we could each and every single time. I got to a certain point, I was completely drained. I was in my letter, I said I ran out of gas, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, literally, I ran out of gas. And we got to a certain village. I didn't know what was going to happen then. Robert came over and he said, "Don't worry, it's part of our policy not to leave anybody behind." You know, so he said, "But we've got to get going. We've got to go, and we've got to be able to get to this other school." Mind you, we still had no clue if these people knew that the teacher strike was over. We had no clue if the students were even going to be in there, hiking all that distance, because you know, there's no radio, there's no TV, no nothing like that. I'm almost done, but anyways, I got to thank you for the lighting. They took off. They had to take off, so they left me behind. I talked to the guys that. That there was a couple guys that was there. I made a small talk with them about their school, and that was there. There was a small school that was there, and in the meantime, I was so drained. They invited me to just sit on their porch, so I did. Next thing you know, they brought me a pillow, they brought me a blanket to lay on. So I was sitting there trying to take it all in. off in the distance, I heard one of the, I heard some kids, all of a sudden I heard one of the island songs. And I thought, well, this is kind of neat. I'm just, I don't know what they're saying, but I took it in and just listened to it. And in the meantime, I'm still in and out. Then all of a sudden, they started singing something else. Didn't have a clue as to what it was until I got to these words. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you live to die rejected and alone. Imagine that. In the jungle, here it is, they're singing. Who is that? Chris Tomlin? Huh? Bob Hall. I know, but who wrote that? Chris Tomlin? Somebody like, anyways, there it was. And I'm sitting there going, oh, man. And now, the next thing you know, they're coming to me and said, would you please come and speak to our students? You know what? Man's extremities, God's opportunities. So I didn't know what I was going to talk about. So I presented the story of the five missionaries down in Ecuador who got killed. But then yet, the story didn't end. It kept right on going with the wives who were able to make it in. And next thing you know, those guys got saved. This was the neat thing was that, I was able to present the gospel to that little group right there. I didn't have any Bibles to give them except for one little New Testament, which I had to use that as my example. But after a while, we got to pretty much to an end, and then they looked at me and said, well, what else do you want? I said, I was wondering, could you sing that song that I heard a while ago, which was Above All? Would you start singing that? And they said, yeah, we'd be more than happy to do that. So I sat there and I was, and the thing about it was I had no clue about the guys that I was working with. I didn't know what happened to them. You know, in the jungle, anything can happen. Break a leg or whatever. So I'm sitting there, and they start singing. They got to the chorus, crucified, laid behind the stone. And guess what? Out of the jungle comes the guys that I work with. They come walking out of the jungle, and they get to hear this particular song that these kids are singing. Imagine that. And they said that was one of the most joyous things that they ever heard. Being that deep in the jungle, be able to hear, giving praises to God for what it is that happened. Let me tell you what happened. Was it when they got up to the school, the teachers had not heard about the end of the strike. They were still on strike. But the kids showed up because they had nothing else to do. So they were out there playing soccer and everything. And our guys were able to take the Bibles that they had backpacked in for hours and hours and were able to give it to the kids and gave them the story. God's hand was completely over all this whole thing. You know, I challenge each and every single one of you. Go to a missions conference. You never know what God's going to do in your life. You just never know. Don't let it end when you get out of high school. Continue on. Start learning more and more about who God is. And this is just Jeremiah 9 verses 23 and 24. That's the cornerstone of what it is that I've been trying to learn. Know and understand God. Who He's all about. I'm sorry, I took up too much time. Anyways, I want to thank the missions committee for over 2 years ago. This was 2 years in the making. I want to thank you for your diligence of what it is that you did, and you allowed me to be a part of this. Thank you, Grace Baptist Church, for supporting me in this entire endeavor, being able to go to China, now being able to go to the Solomon Islands. Hopefully I'll get to go back. Hopefully. All right, thank you. Good night.
Before some of our team comes and shares their to give their testimony about God's work in Alaska, I want to explain from the Bible what the basis for all of this is. And I'm not going to preach, but I do want to read this to you from Acts 14. In Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas were set apart from the rest of the congregation there at Antioch to go and to travel and to go to different cities. And while they were in those cities, they had specific tasks to preach and teach and declare the Word of God, the Gospel, the Good News. Not to go and do sightseeing, not to go and hang out with friends, but to go and proclaim the Word of God. And so as you hear what these team members are going to say, I want you to be assured that that's what happened. And when they had finished their work, they came back, and here's what it says happened when Paul and Barnabas came back from their journeys. In Acts 14:21, it says, when they had preached the gospel to those cities and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, and they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. And now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to Gentiles, so they stayed there a long time with the disciples. And so we're following that pattern. We've gone, you've sent us, we've gone, we have done our part, we've proclaimed God's word, and you're going to hear about how all that happened, but you had a part in it. We thank you for giving and sending and letting us go and do this work, and I hope that you're as blessed as we were to hear about what we were able to take part in.
I'm Conchetta Swan. This was my first year on the trip to Alaska, and it was absolutely one of the best weeks of my life. Alaska was absolutely beautiful. The mountains, we got to see glacier. It was just absolutely gorgeous. What we have here does not compare to their mountains. We have like anthills compared to what they have. It was just absolutely beautiful. It was so beautiful it looked fake. It was just so gorgeous, just what God has created in Alaska. The park we went to was Penland Park. It was a trailer park. So the people there were very poor. It was kind of dirty. Before we even went, right after we had orientation and everything, we were talking with our leaders, Tiffany and Janine, and they told us that in the past few weeks that they'd been there, every Friday they had had police at the park. There had been family issues. There had been a drug bust at the park. I mean, it's not the best place to be at all. The first day we were there, after we had passed out flyers telling what we were doing that week, we were waiting for some of our team members, and the house across the street, the door opened and a kid came out, and then somebody inside the house and the kid started shouting at each other about who should close the door. That was it. Just who should close the door. And they were almost screaming at each other. Like, it's just that area of Anchorage and stuff. It was just not the best place to grow up in and everything. And it was just, it just broke my heart just to see these kids and just the place that they were growing up in. But the kids were just absolutely amazing. They were the most precious kids. They were so excited to see us every day. There would be kids waiting at the gate, waiting for us to get there to feed them lunch and then to play with them and to tell them a Bible story and to do a craft with them. they were just, I mean, they just wanted attention. They just wanted to be played with. There was this one little boy one day, Luke, that one of the girls had drawn out a hopscotch that was 89 squares long. And we did that. I did that hopscotch with him. Then we would go get a drink. Then we would do hopscotch again backwards. And then we would go get another drink and then do it again and back and forth, back and forth. And he just loved it. And the smile on his face was just so amazing. Just plain hopscotch. That's it. And it was just so amazing. Just all, and all of the kids, just the most beautiful smiles. And they were so happy to see us. So what I learned on the trip, just how much I have compared to them, and they just don't have as much as I do, and just made me a lot more aware and thankful for what I have, for the family I have, and for the Christian home that I've grown up in, and the opportunities I have, and the school, being homeschooled, but just being able to learn, and just the friends that I have, and this church as well. And I left part of my heart in Alaska. I'm so ready to go back next year, and just thank you all for your support and your prayers.
I think I know most of you, but I'm Ashley Stead, and a few weeks ago, we left for Alaska, and I was really, really excited because, you know, all the mountains and the pretty snow in June and stuff, and that was pretty cool, but it was really one of the most incredible weeks of my life ever. I got to see Jesus work in so many ways that I've never gotten to see before, especially, you know, because I've never seen anything like that. And there was so much spiritual movement, not only in the kids' lives, but I think I could say for all of us, in ours and in my own personally. And the ministry was awesome. You know, what we were going for, to go minister to those kids and to tell them, you know, the good news about the Lord. And sometimes I would lay there in bed, you know, and it was bright outside because it's never dark in Alaska. And I would lay there and I figured that I was receiving more of a blessing than they were, you know, because I got to see Christ in the faces of those kids and, you know, stirring in the hearts of them, and seeing how eager they were to listen to what we had to say about the Lord. And it was such a beautiful thing to, you know, see Alaska and to see the scenery and the glaciers and God's creation. But what was even more beautiful was to see how evident Christ was there, and to see those kids who come from horrible, nasty, yucky living situations to want faith and to want, you know, Jesus, to want something that we have. And it was awesome. I'm so thankful for the opportunity that the Lord gave me to, you know, share His love and to go and fulfill the Great Commission like He has asked us to. And I cannot wait to go back next year. I can't wait to see the progress that He's going to be making in Anchorage this summer. And thank you for your prayers and your giving. And yeah, thank you.
Hi, I'm Tori, and Alaska was my first mission trip ever, and I was really nervous and really, really excited. And when we got there, it was really late, and then we woke up really, really early, and the kids were so much fun to play with. And when we got there, it was, I was really shocked because I saw really young kids, 3 years old, just walking around by themselves, and some of them didn't even have shoes, and They just were like, they were just really happy, and even though they were living in terrible, gross places. And one girl named Kira, I absolutely fell in love with her the second I started talking to her. And she was so little and shy, and she didn't say anything, and she didn't really want to play. And then she just kind of wanted to sit with you. And I would talk to her, try to get her to talk, but she just wouldn't talk. She just kind of wanted to sit with you and hug you. But she was so sweet, but when she would smile, you just, like, saw her face lit up if you made her laugh or if you, like, tickled her. One day I walked her home with Denise, and just to see all of the houses they lived in was terrible. And she, like, we got there, and she started walking behind a house, and she went way back in the back, and, like, I looked around the corner, and the house was, like, it was metal, or it was, like, it looked like a metal rectangle, and with a cardboard door, and there was writing all over the house, and there were kids just, like, running, and I didn't know what to think, because I'd never seen anything like that, and I heard yelling and screaming from the house, and I felt so bad for that little girl. She was like 4, and she lived in that kind of environment. It was terrible. It was kind of like, I feel like the biggest thing that I learned, I feel like, was like that I have so much, and I think I have a hard life sometimes, and compared to them, I have like everything that I could ever want, and God did so much there, and it was amazing to see how he worked in all the kids' lives, and it was just incredible. And I really can't wait to go back there next year or go on another mission trip somewhere else to see how he can work there.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Mathias. I hope you don't all know me because I don't recognize all of you. I have this quirk when I speak to the youth back in our youth room that I always make them, if they're sitting towards the back, move all the way up to the front rows. And I'm not going to ask you all to do that, but at least now I see where they get it. I always thought it was me, so... I want to say that, and I'll say this all the time, I am very fortunate to work with our youth, and we just have such fantastic kids, and I know that a lot of that's just a testament to their families and you guys and the way you've raised them. And I'll say this, David and Stephanie and myself, we were leaders on this trip basically as formality, and I'm pretty sure they could have gone on this trip and done just as well without us, and we didn't ever have to worry about their behavior or doing what they were supposed to do, or their attitudes. They were just tremendous, and y'all would have been proud of them. As for the trip, just to reiterate what they're saying, it's amazing. You get up there, and Alaska is a beautiful place. In fact, for a talented photographer like Tom Kilpatrick, Alaska's just cheating. As you'll see in our slideshow in a minute, everything looks great up there. But it's the kids that really make the trip, and as only people who have been on mission trips can know, in just 5 short days, a couple hours a day, you can fall in love with kids completely. And it was a joy to get to spend that time with them and to love them. And, you know, we did crafts with them every day, and I wear these 2 necklaces to remind me of our time up there. And this blue one, I was coloring necklaces with one little girl, Hannah Mae, and she asked me what my favorite color was. I said blue, so she colored one all blue and gave it to me. And I was like, thank you. And a little later, another little girl named Kylie saw me wearing this necklace, and she said, "Who gave you that?" And I said, "Hannah Mae." And she looked at me. She took hers off her neck, and she put it over my head so I could have hers. And I said, "No, you won't have one." She said, it's fine. You keep it. So we got loved just as much as the kids did. Now, I'd love to say that after a week of us presenting the gospel to the kids, that they all came to Jesus and the whole spiritual environment of the park turned around. but that wouldn't be an honest report. And I think, honestly, it's my own vanity that I want to be able to say that we accomplished that. You know, I know we don't save people, but we kind of like to get that assist, don't we? But I know that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to take the gospel to them, to present truth, and to love them. And I can assure you, we did that in spades. I think now we are going to have a slideshow, just some of the pictures of Alaska and also just our activities with the kids. So we'll watch that, and I hope you enjoy that. Whoa.
Okay, that was well done. And you know, this is our third year to have been to Alaska, and there's a sense in which you kind of you invest over a period of time, and you have opportunities to go back and to work. And we're going to clip some coupons because I have a hunch that God's going to send some people different places. God's going to open their vision and their eyes for the opportunities that are around us. And so that's a that's a neat deal. We could have taken a number more because we had folks that would like to have gone, but I think we were restricted to just 13, and so maybe next year we'll be able to take a few more. So we're thankful for that. Well, we're going to have a reception in just a minute, but I understand that we have a family that would like to come forward and join the church, and so we're going to let them do that. And when we went through the whole process, we've just really had a whirlwind of interesting and exciting things that have happened, I guess, over the past, really about the last 6-7 months and everything, because 7 months ago, I know it wasn't on your radar to come to Tennessee, and 7 months ago, I can remember Bill and I were talking about what needed to happen and how we needed to do things, and from time to time, we made decisions that had, I think it'd be safe to say, they blew up in our face. Would you say that? Yeah, just a little bit. And so we said, you know, we really got to do things a little different. And so we came together and we said, we're going to have a search committee. We're going to get a group of people that are going to look at this and are going to pray. And that was the process that God put it all together. Now, in the middle of all of that, about a year and a half ago, I agreed to go to BBC and speak, and from time to time, they must get desperate, because they contacted me, and they said, would you come up and speak? And they gave me one date, and that wasn't going to work out, and I said, well, what about another time? And so, and this was long before I knew that I would have that opportunity. So Mary and I went up to Clark Summit, and in contrast to you that thought the snow was neat, Ashley, we did not think it would be neat to be there in the snow, because we had sort of given that up. But we got to spend a lot of time with Matt and Rosemary, and not the rest of the family, but to really talking about this. And so it's your desire to join this fellowship.
I think so.
Okay. All right. Do I have a motion that we would receive them? Okay. Is there a second? Second, all in favor, yes? Okay, that is fantastic. Now, this is, you don't see this very often, but they were 20-some years in an independent Baptist church in Clark Summit, and it was Summit Baptist Church, Summit Baptist Bible Church, and they sent a letter, and they emailed this to us, and this is what they said about y'all's family and everything. And, you know, we should probably do this. Do you want to introduce your girls?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, this is Jessica, my oldest. And Megan, youngest.
Caitlin's in number three, and Jennifer and her husband, Nathan, are still in Pennsylvania at this point.
We're still praying for them to get their hearts right.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, Summit Baptist Bible Church sent this. This is kind of neat. We, the body of Summit Baptist Bible Church, commend the Pollock family to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ at Grace Baptist Church. We ask Grace Baptist Church to watch over the Pollocks during this time of transitioning, opening your arms to them and welcoming them with love, caring for them as fellow members of the body of Christ, being beloved in the Lord. As children of God, we are all given gifts and abilities which are being used to further the ministry of Christ Church. Each member of the Pollock family has used their God-given abilities to serve and magnify God's name here at Summit. We ask you, Grace Baptist, to use the Pollocks in a way that God has planned, providing them with opportunities to serve and glorify God. While the future is uncertain, we have faith and assurance that God holds us within His hands, protecting us, leading us in the way He deems right. Though we're brokenhearted, heartbroken to see the Pollocks leave us, we know this is God's will. The members of Summit Baptist Bible Church recommend the Pollock family seeing and experiencing firsthand the work of God has done through them. Is that neat? And there's another statement where they spend some special words to you on. I know you've read, they had a really big deal for them. Before they left, and it was, I think, something of a surprise, and, you know, your folks came and actually were part and parcel of all that. So, I just thought that was really neat. And listen, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for the food, and I want someone to get you right up there next to those wonderful egg salad sandwiches, because I think there's probably other stuff that's a little better back there. But, Matt, Rosemary, gals, we're so excited to have you here. And all this is, I think God's doing some neat things. I've seen the Lord working and doing things in a special, special way. And so thank you for answering God's call and everything. Father, thank you for Matt and Rosemary and the girls and the way you've led them and the way they're willing to obey, Father. I pray that they'll sharpen us and that together for your kingdom, Father, we'll make an impact in this city. Father, that you'll bless their ministry here in this church, but you'll bless the school ministry, Father. We thank you for the good things we've already seen, Father. And we pray that as we go to this fellowship, that you'll just encourage us in your name, Father, above everything else. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to, Paul, would you and Katie get them back that way, if you will, please? And in just a half a second, I'm going to dismiss us and everything to the fellowship. We've got lots of neat things going on this summer. And one of the things, we've got this group going to Hungary, but you probably have already forgotten that B. Ward stood here a week ago and said, hey, I'm going to Togo for 10 weeks and going to be involved in ministry. So you pray for B. Yeah, pray for Harry, because Harry, I think, probably needs great prayer, trying to fend for himself and everything, because, he is up in, staying up in Dunlop, and I just don't think that, I think that's too far away from Armando's, as far as I'm concerned. But, lots going on. The 4th, this is going to be a really neat deal with the 4th of July, and you know what it's been. And you're going to see people, and you're going to say, who are those people? And once that registers in your mind, then you need to go up and introduce yourself to them. And all of us really need to be greeters and be encouragers and just to see what God's doing. So we thank you for that. Don, that was neat. Thanks for going to the Solomons. I think that's a great, great opportunity. And Dave, thanks for your good work, and teens for all that you're doing and everything, and Stephanie and Jeremy, the way God's using you. Lord bless you. Have a great time at the reception.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.